Warning: The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Mr. Commander-in-Chief, I am proud of the service members who recovered Sergeant Bergdahl and brought him safely out of harm's way. As usual, they performed with extraordinary courage and professionalism, and they've made their nation proud. Right now, our top priority is making sure that Bo gets the care and support that he needs and that he can be reunited with his family as soon as possible.
New Monday, I'll hear new Monday. Got to work, plan to sleep all day.
All right, stop the music. This is breaking news on the Savage Nation. The POS, I mean the POW, who the Commander-in-Chief negotiated the release of, is now tweeting for the release of more Guantanamo terrorists. Let me repeat that. I'm the father now? The father, the alleged father, the alleged Muslim convert, the father, Bob Bergdahl, is now tweeting for more Guantanamo releases. Only hours after appearing in a press conference to give thanks for the freeing of his POS son in exchange for five top Taliban murderers, the father of the POS, Bob Bergdahl, returned to Twitter to promote a Guardian video in which family members lobby for the release of five Tunisians held at Guantanamo Bay. Now, I want you to listen to the father of the POS, I mean the POW, as he speaks in Pashto in a very, very strange message to radical Muslims around the world. Listen to this at your White House on the Savage Nation.
I'd like to say to Bo right now, who's having trouble speaking English, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Zayabayem. I'm your father, Bo.
Let's stop right here. I wonder when Obama's going to get the help he needs. I mean, I hope that the POS, I mean the POW, gets the help he needs. And I certainly hope that the president gets the help he needs as soon as possible. Because the father of the POS started the press conference, as we just played, in Arabic, saying, Bismam Allah al-Rahim al-Rahim, which means, quote, in the name of Allah, the most gracious and most merciful, according to experts in the field, including a former CIA station chief, these Arabic words serve to sanctify the grounds of the White House for Islam, essentially claiming it for Islam based on dogmatic and religious traditions. But it gets worse. We have to cover this because the question to you, the audience of the Savage Nation, is only a single question. Is he a hero or a deserter? There's no other question. This is something that you have to understand is one of the strangest stories in our lifetime. And there are many things you need to know about Obama's exchange of the POW for five diehard terrorists. The most unusual part of it is this. The soldiers who served with the POS in the field were forced to sign non-disclosure agreements not to reveal what actually happened on the battlefield. I'm not making this up. This comes from the left-wing CNN. For those of you who want to doubt every word that Michael Savage speaks, you better start doubting your own mind and see if you're still sane. The soldiers who served with the POS on the battlefield, Bergdahl, were forced to sign non-disclosure agreements not to reveal what happened on the battlefield. They told CNN that they sign NDAs agreeing to never share any information about Bergdahl's disappearance and the efforts to recapture him. Some of these soldiers are willing to dismiss the NDA in hopes that the truth will come out about this soldier, who they now fear is being hailed as a hero, while many men lost their lives looking for him, who are being ignored by our commander in grief. I want to begin with the story again and invite you to call us at 855-407-282. And I want to ask you what you think about this. Is he a hero or a deserter? Who is he? The father's beard was quite strange for an American. It's not even the beard of a Hell's Angel or a motorcyclist, which is very interesting. It's not a Hell's Angel biker beard. In fact, it's a Muslim beard. You say, well, all right, there's no law against being a Muslim in America. That is true. That's 100% true. He could be anything he wants. In this case, if he's a Muslim, he's entitled to be. And that's not even the issue. The issue is why Obama released him over the weekend. The answer, as you know, I told you on Friday. Again, I was steps ahead of everybody else. In fact, leagues ahead of everybody else. I told you on Friday it was done strictly to brush aside the VA scandal, which was threatening to bring down the entire Democrat Party. The entire Democrat socialist machine was going to be destroyed by the VA scandal. Because if they lost the vote of the military wives, military families, they could not hope to hold on to this plum that they've been milking ever since they seized power. And so they had to get the VA scandal off the headlines. I told you that Friday on the Savage Nation. And so what did they do? How better to do it than to bring back a POW who disappeared under very odd circumstances. You don't know that many men were killed looking for him. American men died looking for the deserter. He deserted, by the way. He left all of his equipment behind and deserted. He was sitting there on the front lines in a command post in Afghanistan, and he disappeared. There are many elements of this story that I'm afraid most Americans will not hear about, and there's nothing I could do but give you the information that I've gathered over the weekend. So who was he? Who is he? Well, he was raised in a rugged and rural area of the U.S. by his father, Bob, a staunch woodsman who homeschooled his kids and taught them to shoot and live off the land. That's admirable. That's good. A street in his hometown of Haley, Idaho, is lined with signs and yellow ribbons welcoming home America's only prisoner of war in Afghanistan, released after 5 years in captivity. Now, what you have to understand is that they don't keep American prisoners of war playing badminton and feeding them. They usually torture them and cut their heads off. So who actually is this kid? Well, in a deal done by your commander-in-chief to trade the sergeant for five high-ranking murderous Taliban leaders at Guantanamo Bay, Cuba, there's no question they're going to be back on the battlefield sooner rather than later. Now, don't tell me that Qatar is going to control them. Q-A-T-A-R, Qatar, will be able to control them. They won't. They're probably back on the battlefield as I speak. Now, on the face of it, we should all be thrilled for the release of any American held in captivity. Yellow ribbons, parades, marching down Main Street, ticker tape parades. But if you study this story, the release is clouded in controversy and great danger. Let's start with the conflicting stories from the night Bergdahl was captured. Sergeant Bo Bergdahl says he fell behind in a patrol. The Taliban says he was found drunk wandering the desert. I don't believe either of those stories. According to CNN and Fox News, the belief of the soldiers most close to Sergeant Bergdahl on the night he disappeared, they broke their NDAs in order to tell what they know. They say that while in the battle on the battlefield, Sergeant Bergdahl lost his faith in the mission and turned his back on America and the military. He reportedly mailed his personal effects back home mid-tour, all of his valuables. They also noticed a lot of anti-American rhetoric flowing through his emails, and they say he simply deserted his post one night, taking with him a compass, a bottle of water, a knife, and a small camera. Bergdahl walked off his post and was captured by the enemy. His path into the U.S. Army itself is a strange one. First, he studied ballet. Then he went on a sailing expedition from the Atlantic to the Pacific, and then attempted to enlist in the French Foreign Legion. Now, thus far, those are symptoms more of an adventurer than anything else, a brave young man. Only after having been rejected by the French Foreign Legion did Bergdahl join the U.S. Army. He deployed in 09, went missing on June 30th that very year. Reports after his capture began to surface of games with badminton, of badminton that he was playing with his captors, inviting them to celebrate Easter and Christmas and growing fondness for Akawa and Afghan green tea. Nothing wrong with that either, but I don't believe that these people play badminton with American prisoners of war by habit. He also became fluent in the predominant Afghan languages of Pashto and Dari. Again, nothing wrong with that. He's a smart kid. It's also being reported by various outlets that the sergeant is now struggling to learn to re-speak English. That's unusual. Very unusual. In August 2010, it was reported that a Taliban commander named Haji Nadim said the sergeant was helping to train the Taliban in bomb making, and infantry tactics. The Pentagon dismissed the reports as Taliban propaganda, but then you know who was running the Pentagon then. It was Leon Panetta, who was conveniently sent back to his ranch in Monterey. And according to an article published in Rolling Stone, which is a left-wing magazine, as you well know, an American-hating magazine, a military-hating magazine, a magazine that hates for a living, even Rolling Stone said that there were concerning emails. And he said that he's ashamed to be an American. He said the horror of the self-righteous arrogance that they thrive in is revolting. He said in the U.S. Army, you're cut down for being honest. But if you are a conceited, brown-nosing SB, you'll be allowed to do whatever you want and you'll be handed your higher rank. He said the title of U.S. soldier is just a lie of fools. This is the hero that Obama is parading around. There's more of it. He said, we don't even care when we hear each other talk about running their children down in the dirt streets with our armored trucks. We make fun of them in front of their faces and laugh at them for not understanding we are insulting them. But wait, there's more to it. Let's move on to some of the strange behavior of Sergeant Bergdahl's family, specifically the backwoods father. Upon news of his son's release, the father was this weekend ready for the announcement, and he spoke to the press, and he started his press conference, as I say, in Arabic. What is that about? Sergeant Bergdahl's father, as I mentioned at the beginning of this show with breaking news, just released more tweets to release more Guantanamo prisoners. He just returned to Twitter to promote a Guardian video in which family members lobbied for the release of five Tunisians held at Guantanamo Bay. There's a lot going on here. So what do you think about this? Do you think that he's a hero or do you think he's a traitor? Do you think he's a, what is he? He's a guy who ran off his post? The soldiers say that. He abandoned his post after growing disillusioned with the war. He put America down. And strangely enough, he had bought an AK-47 for his weapon of choice in the field. I didn't know you could do that. I guess he was getting ready to work with his friends. One, Obama broke the law. Two, the five Taliban commanders released were among the most dangerous from Guantanamo. Soldiers who served with Bergdahl are saying he was a deserter. Soldiers who served with Bergdahl signed NDAs not to reveal what happened. Bergdahl reportedly split camp with just a few survival items. Bergdahl reportedly made anti-American statements. Father praised Allah, has pro-Islamic tweets on timeline. Now, here's the strangest one of them all. Remember 2 weeks ago when Obama made the strange trip to Afghanistan to be commander-in-chief in the middle of the VA scandal? And then we learned on the same weekend the CIA station chief in Kabul was, quote, mistakenly outed by Obama's minions. Why do you think that happened? You know why this happened? I'll tell you why. Because if soldiers on the battlefield know exactly who Bergdahl was and that he abandoned his post, and they're not allowed to say it, what do you think the station chief in Kabul might know? And why do you think that the spies, the double agents inside our military, outed his name? I'm just an American looking in from the outside. And as according to what I've seen go on under this administration, there are many dangerous double agents working directly for Obama. Now, perhaps it's a result of my watching the series 24 years ago, or of having watched the HBO series Homeland a little too often. But something is so wrong with this administration that there's almost no way to begin it. This is like Humpty Dumpty. He has broken America like an egg. Can anyone fix this? Is there enough glue in the world to re-glue this nation? And remember, this man has years to go. Years to go. Ladies and gentlemen, if you care to comment on this strange story of the POW, or whatever you want to call him, the deserter, the phone number is 855-400-7282. When I come back, I'll continue to discuss this and all the latest news right here on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I, Michael Savage, trust to buy my gold and silver from, SwissAmerica.com.
I'm also grateful for the tireless work of our diplomats. and for the cooperation of the government of Qatar in helping to secure Bo's release. We've worked for several years to achieve this goal, and earlier this week I was able to personally thank the Emir of Qatar for his leadership in helping us get it done. As part of this effort, the United States is transferring five detainees.
All right, as we well know, this is the most narcissistic, dangerous presidency in our history, and I don't know if we can survive it at this point. You know, I started the show by quoting Oliver Wendell Holmes, and I think it was he who said, we will soon have to decide if the people will run this government or if the government will run the people. I don't know whether it was Jefferson or Holmes. We know that the government is running the people. And this is all about selfishness, narcissism, greed, and power. See, all of us have a selfishness in us, but if we're only for ourselves, we become very dangerous individuals to everyone around us. That's common in the human condition, and normally civilized society controls such urges through laws, through checks and balances. But when you have a dictator arise who thinks he's above the law, these checks and balances no longer apply. And then the narcissist gets out of control, and he starts feeding upon himself, feeding only for himself, more and more of the madness that led him to the origination of his narcissism, and he feeds it without any thought whatsoever for the benefit of the nation. He does not think about the nation. He does not think about his party. He does not think about anything but his own ego gratification. And so we're now in that situation where we're in a very dangerous place because of the president, the commander-in-chief, who just did something that's unheard of. 5 years of capture, and all of a sudden on this weekend he had to release this guy. It was clearly to get the VA scandal off the papers. There was no other reason for it. This is called naked self-interest of the lowest order. Now, you'd think people in the media would be jumping up and down on this. And they're not. They're not. They've given up. We have no media. They're useless. They listen to this show. They know I'm right. I'm the uncle that they wish to God they had in their household. I'm the father of American journalism. They're all dead. They're patsies.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. The Savage Nation.
Oh, how modern that is. So computer literate, so Twitter-like, so BlackBerry-ish, so with it.
On Hot Talk 560.
There's another element
KSFO.
To the story. Welcome back to the program. It's 34 minutes after the hour across America, and I would say most Americans are completely tuned out of this story. They're the useful idiots that Lenin wrote about, interested in the things that most average people are interested in. They're the useful idiots that dictators have used from the beginning of recorded history to continue their power grabs. And I don't think it's any different in our nation, perhaps even worse, given the level of intelligence in the country and the low level of education. The Twitter universe has reduced literacy to a lowest possible level. And I don't think Americans know what's going on. That doesn't mean I have to now start appealing to the base elements, to the lowest common denominator. I mean, if I was teaching in a classroom and there were like three bright kids and then there was a slew of idiots that were brought into the classroom, if you start appeasing the idiots, which is the average American voter out there who puts politicians in power and keeps them there, then the intelligent people wind up tuning out. They can't learn anything anymore, and they won't listen to you as a teacher. I was a former teacher. What you have to do, it's a real struggle, which is try to bring the dummies up to the level of the intelligent ones. Very hard to bring the dummies up to any level when a nation is now so given to appeasing the dummies. The nation glorifies the dummies. The nation puts dummies on the fronts of newspapers. The nation puts left-wing dummies up as role models. The nation only hires left-wing dummies to speak at graduation ceremonies. The nation only makes movies about left-wing dummies and so-called anti-heroes. So it's a very difficult challenge, but you got to do what you got to do. Now, here's a fact that for the three children in the classroom who have a brain. Do you remember the story about the Rolling Stone reporter who died in a strange car wreck in his Mercedes in L.A. a year or so ago, Hastings? Remember him? They said his car suddenly sped up and crashed into a tree. And his parents said that's unusual because Hastings never sped. He was a very conservative driver, and he drove slowly. And then his car was seen to speed down a street in L.A. at 2:30 in the morning and smash into a tree, and he died in smoke. A car went up in flames, rather. Well, Michael Hastings is the journalist who wrote for Rolling Stone in 2012, which exposed this POW's attitude against the Afghanistan war. Why? There's no connection? No, just a coincidence. So there's a lot to be talking about here. There's an awful lot at stake. Say, well, what can I do about it? I don't know what to do. I'm wringing my hands. Michael, I know it's bad. Michael, I believe you. You don't have to sell me on this guy. I know you've been struggling for years to warn us. What can we do about it, Michael? I don't have an answer for you. There is no longer a participatory government. Back in the day of the 90s when radio was really hot, we would tell you, write to your congressman, your senator. I never told people that because I knew it was futile even then. But people in the media, you say, write your congressman, and they have congressmen on and senators make believe they're going to represent you. So those days are over. We have no government of the people, by the people, and for the people. We have a government of the sheeple, by the people, and for the sheeple, as we well know. Good. Okay, good. I made another joke. Now what? Now what? What are we going to do about it? We know that this administration used the POW to get the VA scandal off the headlines. That's A. We know that the average American is a moron. They're not intelligent. No, they're stupid. And they're stupider than they've ever been. There are more drugs being prescribed by the evil doctors who are declaring them in need of various and sundry psychoactive chemicals to dumb them down even further. So I would say the American voter now is stupider than ever. At the same time, there's never been as many non-English-speaking idiots in the country as there are now. People who've come here from despicable third-world nations, they fled in order to seek a better life, are now bringing to us everything they fled from. And so now you have the perfect storm awaiting us. And if you had an honorable man in the White House, this wouldn't be going on. If you had a man in the White House who cared for the country, this wouldn't be going, even a scintilla. If the man had a scintilla of care for the health and safety of America and the military, things like this wouldn't be going on. We wouldn't be agitated every day by Axelrod's manipulations. But Axelrod, who is Obama's brain, is sort of the evil mind behind Obama. I'm convinced he's the one conspiring on all of these events. At least that's my suspicion. I mean, they blame Karl Rove for what Bush was doing. Somebody's advising Obama, fly to Afghanistan, out the CIA chief. The next week, come back and release Bergdahl. Somebody wrote the scenario. Could be one of his friends in Hollywood. It's a perfect movie script. Good. So what can we do about it? There's very little I can do about it other than to give you the facts and let the facts fall where they may, and then you have to do what you think you got to do. And I want to go back to something that is very important to me personally. I realize that I've been beaten down somewhat by the American left. It came to me over the weekend through great meditation that they actually were beating me down. I realized what was going on when I see despicable low-life louts giving speeches at every college in America, and there's not one conservative at one college in the country. Every one of them is a fraud and a liar. Al Gore is giving a speech at a college? That laughable charlatan? I ride in my car in the back of a bus. I see a lecture series. Left-wing fanatics. Al Gore speaking on the environment. The most despicable left-wing liars are being touted as our intellectual giants, and there's not one alternate opinion allowed anywhere on the lecture circuit. You ask people who used to be able to lecture, people on the conservative side, they're not being booked anymore because the communist left has become violent. Look what they did to that mild-mannered Condoleezza Rice. They wouldn't even let her speak, the communist left. And so I say, well, wait a minute. This has had an effect upon me. Here I live in San Francisco, admittedly, supposedly a tolerant liberal city. It is the most despicable, mean city in the whole country. It is the meanest city in the United States of America. It does not permit anything in the way of an alternative opinion. Let me give you an example, and this is not sour grapes. I'm doing quite well without them. I have a national show. I've written one bestseller after another. I wrote two novels, Abuse of Power and A Time for War, both New York Times bestsellers, both set in San Francisco, both set in Sausalito, San Francisco, scenes about the Golden Gate Bridge, scenes about the museum, beautiful books, well-received books. And just as in the ex-Soviet Union, the individuals who do not support the party line are made to not exist. They do not exist in this city. I don't exist. I realized I was able to do this for many years and exist despite them. Then I realized that they were working out on me to the point where it started to affect me. So I went on the internet and looked up all the books I had written. I saw one page for book lovers. I saw covers for all of the great books I turned out over the last number of years. I started to say, holy God, how the heck did I do that? Where do I get the energy for this? What drives me? I'm one of the most prolific authors in the United States of America and perhaps in its history. And yet I'm unknown in the San Francisco area. They know left-wingers only. So I went back and looked at my novel, Abuse of Power, the thriller. And I said, what is this about? Well, it's about jihad. It's about a smeared journalist who uncovers a chilling terrorist plot. What is this about, I said. It's about a government that turns on a man who's trying to tell the truth. I said, no wonder people like the book, but I myself love the book. And so I made a decision over the weekend, which I'm going to share with you right now. It's news for those of you who love me in the show. And I made the decision I'm going to produce this as a film myself. I got tired of waiting for Katzenberg, Ratzenberg, and the others in Hollywood who are supporting the communist revolution in this country. And I decided I'm going to produce the film myself. And I've made inquiries. I'm going to start the process myself. It's going to be Michael Savage's production of Abuse of Power. I'm going to hire a director. I'm going to hire actors.
My name is Sandy.
Screenwriter to make it directly related to the book. I know exactly what I want to do as a movie. And I might release it on the internet. Although I have a friend of mine who knows indie film production, who's had two very successful best-selling movies. He's big time. Very conservative guy. And he said there are 800 independent theaters in America, and they will all take your movie. And then you're going to have an opportunity to see this movie or to download the movie. And then I realized I'm going to bypass Katzenberg, Matzenberg, and Spielberg. And I'm going to bypass the establishment every which way I can, but I'm not giving up. In fact, I decided on the following, and you have to hear this from me. I'm speaking now only to the small percentage of you who have come to listen to me over the years and consider me a family member. I got to tell this to you. I have been granted extra years on Earth. Many more years than I thought I would have. I never thought I'd live this long. But there's a reason that I'm still living. Family history, genetics would have dictated I would have been gone a long time ago. God has given me these extra years, and I decided that I'm going to use these extra years to do more of what I've been doing, not less. So don't expect me to do less. Expect me to do more. And after the book, The Coming Civil War, comes out in October, just before the election, hopefully to sway enough voters to save us while we can still be saved. And after that comes out, I'm going to go full-time into production of this movie, Abuse of Power by Michael Savage. I just wanted you to hear where I'm coming from. In other words, let me summarize it. I got so tired of being beaten up by the illegitimate vermin that run this country's culture. I got so angry at them for trying to put me into the gulag and keep me there that I decided to come back out of the gulag that they put me in, and I'm going to now increase my production in new areas rather than decrease it and walk silently off into the night. In other words, I'm going to continue to fight for myself and for you in plain English. And if I'm not giving up, then you better not give up. I don't want you to give up on me. Let me make this very personal. I know a lot of people out there listen to this show and hang on my every word, and they love me. And they've been with me for years, and I'm a part of their lives. I'm a part of the mental geography of their daily life. They wouldn't know what to do without me. And there was a time a few years ago when I was off the airwaves for a while. They were freaked out. Then I came back almost by a will of God. It was a will of God that I returned to the airwaves through the Cumulus radio networks. And here I am on bigger stations at a better time slot than ever. I never thought it would happen. Dreamed of it, but never thought it could happen. I dreamed it could happen. It's everyone's dream, the stations that I'm on, the time slot I'm on. I know on the West Coast it's a little early for people, but the reason that is that I was given the prime drive time slot on the East Coast on powerhouse stations like ABC, WMAL, etc. And so, therefore, I rose to the top of the radio business, and it was done for a reason. It had nothing to do with money. In other words, fate or God didn't give me this just because he wanted me to make more money. There's a reason for it. And we're living in some of the darkest days of my life. I know people who are very successful, who are more depressed than they've ever been in their life. They understand that we have a traitorous administration that will do anything, anything, and I emphasize in caps and bold caps, they will do anything, A-N-Y-T-H-I-N-G, and they have done so, to hold on to power and to rob the treasury. The people know it. Successful people know it. They see senators self-dealing with husbands making billions of dollars, stealing the money by self-dealing, moving contracts into the hands of their husbands' companies, and the husband is held up as a great American businessman in certain cities of America. People can't believe they're seeing this. In any sane nation, the FBI would have taken them out in handcuffs by now. But there's been no investigation because they own the government. They are the government. And there's no fighting it. We become like a third world backwards banana republic under this administration. And I'm going to say something else. It's going to get much worse before it gets better. I warned you, and pardon me for going on and on about this, a sort of off message. We were talking about the PLW release, but I had to tell you all of the things going on in my mind because I am the show. Without me, there is no show. I mean, the producers do a good job, but I have to be motivated to get up here every day and do this. And I had started to lose some of my focus because I was being gulagged by the illegitimate left vermin in this country who made believe I didn't exist. And it was starting to have a caustic effect upon me. And I know others who you used to hear about who are no longer heard from in this country. Wonderful, excellent conservatives who are no longer getting any bookings. They can't sell any books anymore. The publishers are afraid to touch them. The publishers have catered and caved into the radical left wing in this country. And that's why wherever you turn, you see shysters and frauds like Al Gore lecturing in at colleges. When have you ever heard of so many administration officials giving speeches at graduations? It's unheard of. I've never heard of it. It's unheard of that politicians give these speeches at colleges. Why is this? Because they've stolen the entire culture from the country. They have a consistent and seamless message that is prevalent at every turn in this country. And yet, I'm still on the radio, and yet I have a great book coming out that can no longer be stopped. It's finished. I really almost died finishing this book. And I've 83,000 words. I can't stop it, though, because the scandals keep growing. It'll be out in October. My last big nonfiction book, Stop the Coming Civil War, trying to warn you. And then I'm going to do the film version of Abuse of Power about jihadists here in America. I'll be right back.
Savage. Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-7282. Savage.
The question today to the audience is, and it's being asked all over the legitimate media, is whether the POW was a prisoner of war or a deserter. And this news just broke that the conduct of Bo Bergdahl, freed Saturday night in exchange for five extremely dangerous Guantanamo detainees called the Taliban Dream Team, is now the subject of a major classified file. And there are concerns that he may have been a deserter or even a collaborator. That's what's going around in the intelligence circles of America, not amongst the morons who watch basketball players and such. And remember what I told you in the last segment, every college is hiring only radical leftists? This just came in. UCLA has given Jane Fonda, the traitor, top billing. Again, listen to what I'm saying to you. When have you last seen a conservative of any stripe, mild or severe, speaking at a college graduation? When have you last seen a conservative on the lecture circuit, a real conservative? It's almost impossible to hear anything but one side of the coin. Not only do we have a one-party system in California and many other states as a result of the Service Employees International Union, who has flooded America with illegitimate voters, not only do we have a one-party system, but we have a one-culture system. We are dangerously close to losing the entire American experience under Barack Hussein Obama.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-7282. Savage. Warning. The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Well, first of all, we didn't negotiate with terrorists. As I said and explained before, Sergeant Bergdahl is a prisoner of war. That's a normal process in getting your prisoners back. That's first.
I would say that Obama should land on an aircraft carrier and there should be a sign behind him which says mission accomplished, because he has dumped the VA from the spotlight amongst the morons in the United States of America who are getting ready for a confetti-laden parade of the deserter, or shall we say hero, depends upon which side of the aisle you're on, I suppose. But even liberals are starting to ask questions about the sergeant, whatever he was, who allegedly walked off from his post with just a few pieces of equipment like a compass. Strange timing. I'd have to say at least strange timing. All you cynical liberals out there would say the timing is suspicious, isn't it? And that Bergdahl bumps VA from spotlight would be of some concern if it was a... Let's say Bush had done this. Let me see if I can twist your head around so you can see halfway straight. I know most liberals can't see anything. They're blinded by their own bias. And so here I'm going to ask you this question. It was Bush who's president. He's in trouble with the VA scandal. And suddenly, in the midst of the VA scandal, he releases a prisoner of war who left under strange circumstances and trades five very dangerous battlefield commanders of the enemy. What do you think the liberals would be saying about George Bush as commander-in-chief? Why, they'd be screaming for a impeachment. I think Code Stinko would be outside the White House. Code Stinko would be there. They'd all be there, but you see, they can't see. They're blinded. Their optic chiasma has been so distorted, they can't see what's going on. He violated the law. He signed a law which said 30 days notice shall be given Congress in all POW exchanges, as well as notifying Congress in regards to Gitmo. He committed a violation of the law that he signed. There is a penalty for it. Article 3, Section 3, treason against the United States shall consist in levying war against them or in adhering to their enemies, giving them aid and comfort. Did you hear what I just said? The Congress shall have the power to declare the punishment of treason, but no attainder of treason shall work corruption of blood or a forfeiture except during the life of the person attained. Articles of impeachment should be filed immediately, many are saying. But you know that no one is going to challenge this president because they already have the arrows in their quiver ready to fire back called racism. Every arrow in the Democrat socialist kitty is dipped in the blood of racism. Something's very wrong with this picture. We've had a bloodless coup of Obama and his band of merry pranksters. But there's been a coup. Another law broken by King Obama. Negotiates with terrorists. Not one word. Not one word. Obviously, the timing was set up to drive the VA scandal out of the news. Again, Obama spit in the eye of the military. Again, he honors a fellow America hater who got a bunch of loyal American troops killed. And let me pause on that for a minute. You know how many soldiers died trying to look for Sergeant Bergdahl? Did you hear about them? Did you hear about that? Are you not at all suspicious of the following fact, that all of the soldiers who were in his group on that battlefield, Bergdahl's, were forced to sign a non-disclosure agreement about what actually happened? I've never heard of this in my life. I never heard of soldiers being told to sign an NDA. Never. I never heard of it. And by the way, he's leaving an innocent American Marine to be beaten up in Mexico. Did you know that? He goes out of his way to trade five terrorist Taliban for a questionable American soldier, let's put it that, while leaving an innocent American Marine to be beaten by Mexicans in a Mexican prison. What's going on here? Do you know what's going on? This is what progressives do. They are more to be feared than any enemy you could ever imagine, because the enemy within is far more dangerous. That's what I think. That's what I think. Something is wrong, and we're talking about it. I've also made an announcement in the last hour that, to my loyal fans, was of great interest, which is that I've decided to break the blacklist that I've been put in, and I'm going to be producing a film version of my novel, Abuse of Power. I'm funding it myself. I'm distributing it myself. I'm not going to act in it. It's not going to be one of those. I'm going to hire real actors and a real director. If I say to you, if you're a legitimate screenwriter with real screen credits and you want to submit your credentials, go ahead, make my day. But then I get 500 emails from people who've never written a screenplay, who read a book on it, or said, hey, Mike, I've always wanted to write one, and I love America. Can I write your book? No, please. That's why I don't have an email address anyone can send to, by the way. So that's the problem. What do you have to say about this? Let's start in Washington, D.C., on WMAL, in the heart of darkness. Noreen, welcome to the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Thank you so much. I concur with you, Dr. Savage. You actually are raising excellent points. And I am from that part of the world originally. And I was listening to watching the ceremony, and I was blown away when the father spoke in Arabic, which I understand myself and speak myself. And I must say that I was amazed at his accent. It was a perfect Arabic accent and a perfect Pashto accent, which I also speak.
Would you say that again? The father of the deserter POW, when he spoke, Neil, hold on a minute. This lady speaks Arabic. She is a Muslim. She's also an American who loves this country, obviously. Let us listen to Father Bergdahl speaking in Arabic in the Rose Garden ceremony.
I'd like to say to Bo right now, who's having trouble speaking English, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Zayabayim. I'm your father, Bo.
All right. Now, what did you hear in those words, Noreen?
You know, first of all, he spoke rather fast, and I was thinking, is he sending a code?
That's the first thing that I heard. He was sending a coded message.
That's what I thought.
I heard a coded message myself. Never mind the Arabic. The entire structure of the sentence and the words in it were coded messages. There were words in there. He was telling his son something, wasn't he?
Or he was sending his captors a message.
He said to his son, listen carefully to the people who you are surrounded by. They are taking good care of you. That sounded to me like a coded message.
Yeah, absolutely. He was telling him to be on his guard, and I think that he was probably also sending some kind of a message back to the captors, or the so-called captors, back in Afghanistan.
Did you know what happened in the last hour, Noreen? The father tweeted for more Guantanamo releases today to promote a video in which family members lobby for the release of five Tunisians held at Guantanamo Bay. These are the worst of the worst. They probably killed more Muslims than Americans. You know that, don't you?
I do, yes.
See, people don't understand something, that more Muslims have been killed by radical Muslims than Americans have been killed by them. They don't understand that.
Absolutely. Try going to medical school in a country where I went to medical school. It was a very interesting experience.
Where did you go to school? You said you came from Lebanon?
No, I came from Pakistan.
Interesting. Well, all I can say is we're living in a very strange time when the government is doing things that would have even American Muslims question their motives, Noreen. And I thank you for being such a keen listener to radio. It's the last hope for all of us. How much longer can this go on? How much longer can freedom of speech go on in America? I mean, when they own every aspect of the culture except radio, except the internet, how much longer can this freedom hold? That's what I want to know. Let's go to KKOB Radio. Luke, welcome to the Savage Nation. What's on your mind, Luke?
Hi, Dr. Savage. I wish you the best of luck on the movie. I wanted to ask about the third Jack Hatfield novel, the new one.
Oh, I can't disclose the plot, but I'm almost finished. People don't know how I do it, but it's almost finished. It's a trick. 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 It'll be out in about a year. Thank you very much. Yeah, the movie won't be out for a while. I haven't even started it. I'm going to dinner tonight if I have the energy for it. with my friend who produced two major Hollywood hits, and he's very conservative. We're going to do it as an indie. It's that simple. I'm a movie lover. I watch movies all the time at night. It's how I relax. You know, but it's like anything else. Everyone listens to talk radio and thinks they can do it. Believe me, I'm aware of the fact that everyone thinks they can write a book because they've written the checkbook. Everyone who twitters, every twit who's twittered thinks he can write a book. Everyone who talks thinks that they can do a talk show. And I guess anyone who watches movies thinks that they can produce a movie. So I could be mistaken. I could walk into a minefield here. I don't know. And I may decide I can't do it. But I'm going to do it. No matter how bad it is, I'm going to do it. I've got a whole thing laid out of how to do it all in San Francisco without changing any scenes. Like, there's one scene in Abuse of Power where an assassination occurs in Bulgaria, right? You know, where the double agent kills someone in Bulgaria. It's a man dressed as a woman. And she's the assassin, one of the great terrorists in the book. Well, I decided I don't have to do location shooting in Bulgaria. There are seedy districts of San Francisco that could substitute for Bulgaria. All I need to do is get a Bulgarian street sign at the beginning of the scene. Pan in on Bulgarian street sign. Foggy day. Go to one of the slummy areas of San Francisco's downtown. You could be in Bulgaria. What's the difference? And then go inside the hallway. Doesn't matter where you are. So, I mean, there are many things I can do. The scene shot in Tel Aviv could be shot in San Francisco. So you don't have to do location shooting. It's a whole different world. I think the monopoly of Katzenberg, Katzenberg, Matzenberg, and Ratzenberg is over, by the way. How do you feel about the POW release? It's the Savage Nation, 855-400-7282. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I, Michael Savage, trust to buy my gold and silver from, SwissAmerica.com.
These are the hardest of the hardcore. These are the highest high-risk people. And others that we have released have gone back into the fight. That's been documented. So, and it's disturbing to me that the Taliban are the ones that named the people to be released. They are big, high-level people, possibly responsible for the deaths of thousands.
The deaths right, of that's thousands. Fine. That's John McCain, the same man who wants to fund the rebels in Syria, are telling us that the Guantanamo terrorists who were traded for the sergeant are dangerous. So I think McCain is a little confused. Maybe he was dropped on his head at some point in his adult years, but something's wrong with his picture. He seems to want to fund terrorists in Syria to fight Assad. Assad is an evil man, but, I mean, sometimes you have to choose which devil you're going to do your deal with. And by the same token, he's saying these are dangerous terrorists. We know they're going to go back to the battlefield. And that's why I asked you, do you know how many men died to get this sergeant, went out looking for him? Do you know that men died? Do you know their names? They're far better men than he is. How come Obama didn't mention them yet yesterday at the White House? Let's listen to clip number two of your president boasting about Sergeant Bergdahl.
His parents thought about him and prayed for him every single day, as did his sister Skye, who prayed for a safe return. He wasn't forgotten by his community in Idaho or the military, which rallied to support the Bergdahls through thick and thin. And he wasn't forgotten by his country, because the United States of America does not ever leave our men and women in uniform behind.
No, how about the U.S. Marine who was being beaten in a Mexican prison? How come you're leaving him to be beaten by your friends in Mexico? No, I'm afraid there's a bizarre tale of America's last known POW. Something's wrong here. I mean, something is so wrong with the picture. There's something very wrong with the picture. And there are newspaper men who are picking up on this. Even diehard establishment liberals have been asking questions about doing business with the enemy. They understand something's wrong, and they have to retain some of their creds on this. WABC, John, your comments, please. Go ahead.
Yeah, as an Afghan veteran and someone who's still serving, I always say there's definitely a lot more of the situation. Nobody, the government didn't leave him behind. He left them behind. Nobody walks off a FOB in Afghanistan, just gets lost. He left his kid behind, his weapon behind. The other good question is, how did this individual, this soldier, become a sergeant? Because he was a private when he went AWOL, and he did go AWOL.
Wait. He was a private when he went AWOL, right? Who made him a sergeant?
Great sergeant.
No, but who made him a sergeant?
That's a very good question. Is that someone who is a long-serving member of the military? That's a rank that is earned, not given. So
who made? I'd like to know who made this guy a sergeant. I don't know the answer. I don't have the answer. But we do know that the release could threaten the safety of Americans because, tell me, John, as a veteran who's still serving, doesn't that increase the desire on the part of the enemy to kidnap and hold hostage Americans now?
Oh, my question is, who's going to get kidnapped next? Now they see it works. I guess they'll have to go grab a couple more to get a couple more guys out.
Now, I have the names of the soldiers who died to find him. Soldiers died in the hunt for Bergdahl, and he walked off in the dead of the night. There are names to these soldiers. They have names. And why is it that Obama will not mention the names of the soldiers who died looking for him?
Yes, it just doesn't play into the script.
John, thanks for listening to the Savage Nation. People are buzzing about this all across the landscape. Bergdahl was released to cover up the VA scandal. This is a wag-the-dog scenario. Make no mistake about it. It is as cynical and as naked as it comes. Anyone with a half an IQ can see through this. What do you think about it? Mark on WFTL in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. Mark, what's on your mind?
Hello, Michael. First of all, any soldier that leaves his weapon and walks away from an observation post deserves to be shot after he's tried by a military court. It's that type of offense. It's that serious. He's putting all the people at risk, their lives at risk at the base from a terrorist attack. That's why they set up the observation post. You may have noticed that soldier standing to his left at the interview of the father. When the father was speaking, he was standing there at ease, and he was looking, giving funny looks at this father, because it was exactly, I believe, what that woman discussed with you as far as him sending hidden messages to terrorists. I believe this guy converted to Islam himself a few years ago, from what I understand.
That's what's being rumored on the internet. I think we're going to replay the father's comments the minute we return, and I want America to listen to the father speaking in front of the president, speaking in Pashto, and I want you to tell me what he's actually saying in his secret messaging.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
So listen, what we're going to do is we're going to replay the father of the soldier who was released so that Obama could do an end run around Congress and start the process of emptying Gitmo without congressional approval. Because now that President Obama has shown that Congress cannot stop him from releasing terrorists, many are saying that this corrupt administration is primed to empty out the prison at Guantanamo Bay without Congress being involved. Once again, he's using the force of will to do anything he wants. And so now let's go back to Robert Bergdahl's comments from, hold it a minute, Neil, from the press conference. And I want those of you who are listening to tell me, one, do you think that there is a coded message in his statement? And if so, what does the coded message say? Play it now, Neil.
I'd like to say to Bo right now, who's having trouble speaking English, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Zayabayim, I'm your father, Bo. The people of Afghanistan, the same. The complicated nature of this recovery will never really be comprehended. To each and every single one who affected this, in this country, in the service branches, at the State Department, throughout the whole of American government, and around the world, at international governments around the world, thank you so much. We just can't communicate the words this morning when we heard from the president.
All right, on the face of it, it's a happy father whose son was released from terrorists. But usually they kill American soldiers. They torture them and kill them. They don't play badminton with them and make them tea. So he's a very special prisoner. He survived 5 years, obviously because he was a value to them. He was a high-value target. But there's more to it than that. Usually they torture our men and cut their heads off and send an Allah video out to the world. We've seen them. This one was apparently able to celebrate Christmas and Easter. I mean, I thought that was strange. It was right out of Tokyo Rose when I read that he told them he would like to celebrate Christmas and Easter, and the nice Taliban let him do that. That's unheard of. They hate Christians. They stone Christians to death. I don't believe a word of it. The whole thing's crazier. Crazier than the Canadian Rockies themselves, in that sense. I mean, what's crazy about the Canadian Rockies is nothing other than they're Rocky. But now we have for you the next thing for you to listen to, which is the... Neil, how old is this father's YouTube video, roughly a couple of years? Not very old. This is the father's YouTube video. Let's listen in and tell me what you think of this.
I'm the father of captured U.S. soldier Beau Robert Bergdahl. These are my thoughts. I can remain silent no longer. I address the Pakistani armed forces. I personally appeal to General Kayani and General Pasha. Our family is counting on your professional integrity and honor to secure the safe return of our son. And we thank you. Our family knows the high price that has been paid by your men in the Army and the Frontier Corps. We give our condolences and thanks to the families of those who have fallen for Pakistan. Strangely to some,
did you hear that?
We must also thank those who have cared for our son for almost 2 years.
Thank them?
Mullah Sanjeen, the Haqqanis, and others who have played a role in sheltering the American prisoner. We know our son is a prisoner and at the same time a guest in your home.
A guest?
We understand the rationale the Islamic Emirate has made through its videos.
Emirate?
No family in the United States understands the detainee issue like ours. Our son's safe return will only heighten public awareness of this. That said, our son is being exploited. It's past time for Beau and the others to come home. To the nation of Pakistan, our family would wish to convey our compassionate respect. We have watched the violence of war, earthquake, epic floods, and crop failures devastate your lives, all while our son has been in captivity. We have watched your suffering through the presence of our son in your midst. We have wept that God may show his beneficence, his mercy, and that his peace may come upon the people of Pakistan.
Well, let's pause here. That's the father. By calling it the Islamic Emirates and not the Taliban, that means that America has capitulated to the Taliban. He called it the Islamic Emirates. He did not call it the Taliban. He called them the Islamic Emirates. There's no such country, by the way. It's a nation, a loose nation of terrorism, of terrorists. And he just capitulated to that nation. Now, you may say it's a free country, and the man's heart was broken, and he wanted his son to come home, and he was willing to do anything. Well, you could say anything you want, but there's an awful lot of strange questions about the strange nature of this release of the POW. We all know it was done for one reason at this time. Let's say, put it aside. Only one reason, which is to push the VA scandal off the headlines, and it's done that temporarily because people are stupid. And tomorrow we'll be seeing another slut from Hollywood showing another tattoo on her behind upside down in front of an Instagram feed. And America will then suddenly go back to its normal behavior. But Obama broke the law. There's no Senate hearing. They said there will be no decision on releasing Guantanamo detainees without consulting Congress, yet Obama released five of the most dangerous Taliban commanders in U.S. custody. They were all labeled high risk. These were not medium risk or low risk. These were labeled high risk. So what do you think is going on here? I know what's going on here. It's so obvious. I told you on Friday. And it was only to bump the VA scandal off the headlines. No other reason. It's that cynical. This is a wag-the-dog scenario. This is Clinton bombing Serbia to get Monica Lewinsky off the headlines. This was Clinton bombing a sovereign nation and stealing Kosovo from Serbia in order to get the scandal of Monica Lewinsky out of the minds of the average moronic American. At least that's one man's opinion. Let's hear your opinion, though, because there are many opinions out there. KSFO, Jerry, welcome to the Savage Nation. Your opinion counts. Go ahead, please.
My pleasure, sir. My son-in-law just returned from three tours in Afghanistan. Highly decorated Purple Hearts, Bronze Star, and it's clear, in his opinion, that this gentleman simply stacked up his equipment and walked away from the base. He is a deserter and needs to be dealt with in such a way. And how many Marines do you think there are, Dr. Savage?
How many Marines?
Yeah, how many Marines do you think are deployed or out there?
Well, these were not Marines, were they? This was U.S. These were Army Special Forces, or were they regular Army?
Well, I don't know, but there are only 190,000 Marines. But
yeah,
that's not very many. And so you take a look at the number that were killed trying to find this gentleman as he simply walked away with his compass.
Yes, I think 4 or 5 men died looking for him over the following months.
Yes, and so in his opinion, and again, it's a very small group, and they are trading a lot of email back and forth on this subject, and he predicts there's going to be quite an uprising against this within the Marine community because it's just not correct.
I hear you. I think there's going to be an uprising from many communities in America if this doesn't stop. There's treason in the air everywhere you turn. Jerry, there's no other words for what this man is doing. He bypasses Congress and releases 5 murderous terrorists who we know will go back to trying to kill us?
Well, you take a look at the 5 that were released. I mean, they are the top insurgents that were there, and they were handpicked. I mean, how can the president, and it's hard for me to even say that, but how can the president do that?
That's right. Right. 5 of the most dangerous Taliban commanders in U.S. custody were exchanged for this one deserter. That includes Mullah Muhammad Fazil, Taliban Army Chief of Staff. He is wanted by the UN for possible war crimes, including the murder of thousands of Shiites. Mullah Nurullah Nuri, Senior Taliban Commander, wanted by the United Nations for possible war crimes, including the murder of thousands of Shiite Muslims. Abdul Haq Wasiq, Taliban Deputy Minister of Intelligence, arranged for Al-Qaeda members to provide crucial intelligence training prior to 9/11. Karula Karkhwa, Taliban governor of the Herat province and former interior minister. Mohammad Nabi, senior Taliban figure and security official, served in multiple leadership roles. Strongly tied to anti-coalition militia, including Al-Qaeda, the Taliban, and the others, who put the roadside bombs that maimed and killed many of our troops. This is who he traded. It's the equivalent, let us say, of FDR in the World War II era, for those of you who are old enough to remember what World War II was, trading Nazi prisoners of war on the level of Himmler and such for an American deserter. It would never have happened in a million years. So what do you think about all of this? Should we go on to another subject? Shall I give you a meatball recipe? I'm not going to do it. I'm down for this subject. I can't get off this. I can't move off it. I'm stuck like a needle on an old vinyl record on this subject. I can't move off this groove because there's nothing. I don't think he's done anything worse than this, frankly. I think this is the lowest of the low. But I tell you, I fear what's coming tomorrow, because if they won't stop him, he's going to get worse. If he just bypassed Congress, if he just spit in the face of the UN, if he just released 5 of the worst terrorists in the world, what do you think he's going to do tomorrow? I told you it was going to get a lot worse before it gets better. And I'm not here to predict anything because I don't have a crystal ball. But I think any rational person can see what's coming tomorrow. All right, I'll take your calls when I come back right here on the Savage Nation. Be here or be nowhere.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Well, for one thing, how many soldiers lost their lives to capture those 5 Taliban terrorists that we just released? You know, Ambassador Rice basically said to you, yes, U.S. policy has changed. Now we make deals with terrorists. And the question going forward is, have we just put a price on other U.S. soldiers? What does this tell terrorists? That if you capture a U.S. soldier,
you're the only one who's making sense and standing up. Good for him. But now here's a report from actually what happened in the battlefield when this deserter left. They don't understand why It turned into a daily search mission across the entire Afghanistan theater of operations to find him. Listen to what I'm reading to you from the Daily Beast. This is from a man who was there. He said, the combat platoons in our battalion spent the next month on daily helicopter insertion search missions called air assaults, trying to scour villages for signs of Bergdahl. Each operations would send multiple platoons and every enabler available in pursuit, radio intercept teams, military working dogs, professional anthropologists used as intelligence gathering teams. They would be out for at least 24 hours. Some were on 10-day stretches. Now listen to this. These cobbled-together units' task was to search villages one after another. They often took rifle and mortar fire from insurgents. They intermittently received resupply from soot-coated MI-17s piloted by Russian contractors, many of whom were Soviet veterans of Afghanistan. I didn't know that. Soldiers at the field were saying, why were we burning so much gasoline trying to find a guy who had abandoned his unit in the first place? Did you hear that? Soldiers in the field were asking why we were burning so much gasoline trying to find a guy who had abandoned his unit in the first place. Then they're attacked in July of 09 by a human wave of insurgents. The only reason some of them survived, the Americans, is because they were protected by teams of Apache helicopters. But listen to what comes next. Because so many Apache helicopters were out there looking for this guy, many soldiers died. His soldiers' names were Private First Class Aaron Fairbairn and Private First Class Justin Casillas. Did you hear that? That was because they were searching for the deserter. No one knows why they were searching for the deserter. Why? On August 18th, an IED killed Private First Class Morris Walker and Staff Sergeant Clayton Bowen during a recon mission looking for the deserter. On August 26th, while conducting a search for Taliban shadow subgovernor affiliated with Bergdahl's captors, Staff Sergeant Kurt Curtis was shot in the face and killed. On September 4th, during a patrol to a village near the area in which Bergdahl vanished, an insurgent ambush killed 2nd Lieutenant Darren Andrews and gravely wounded Private First Class Matthew Martinek, who died of his wounds a week later. On September 5th, while conducting a foot movement toward a village also thought affiliated with Bergdahl's captors, Staff Sergeant Michael Murphy stepped on an improvised landmine. He died the next day. The man says it's important to name all these names for the veterans of the units that lost these men. Bergdahl's capture and the subsequent hunt for him will forever tie to their memories and to a time in their lives that will define them as people. He has finally returned. These men will never have the opportunity to return. This is frightening, isn't it? By the way, he's not the first American soldier, excuse me, not the first American soldier in modern history to walk away blindly. There are many, many instances of this. In North Korea, in 1965, an American sergeant defected to North Korea. There's many stories like this. But those who deserted were court-martialed in the past. They were not returned to America as heroes. Something is wrong with the picture. Again, I refer you to the two movies again. The Manchurian Candidate and the television show Homeland. I'll say something else at the tail end of this hour. Knowing how crazy this country is and how sick the media is and how evil the political structure is, I would not be surprised if in a number of years Bergdahl is not running for Congress in his home state. And I'll say something else. I will not be surprised if he's not elected, because he's a war hero, isn't he? Those of you who watch the TV series Homeland know just what I'm talking about. And I'm not speaking to you in a coded message. What is absurd about this administration has just gotten more absurd. What is infuriating about this administration has just become more infuriating. And what is clear is that you cannot fool all of the people all of the time. Yes, you can fool all of the Democrats all of the time, but you can't fool all of the Savage Nation any of the time.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. Warning. The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content,
psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
I'd like to say to Bo right now, who's having trouble speaking English, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Zayabayim. I'm your father, Bo. The people of Afghanistan, the same. The complicated nature of it.
New Monday.
Once again, America descends another step down into the dark abyss of tyranny under the dictator that's running America. Step by step, he seizes more power, bypasses Congress, gets away with it, and the next day he ratchets it up and takes more power, takes more liberties away from the people, from Congress itself, until eventually there's nothing left. Welcome back to a very sad Blue Monday on the Savage Nation. It's certainly not a day to be celebrated. I mean, I don't know how many people are celebrating the return of this deserter. I'm openly calling him a deserter because I'm reading the reports from men in the field who fought with him. He deserted his command post. He put them at risk. Over the next months, men died looking for the deserter. And yet this president of yours celebrated him as a returning war hero. There are many questions that need to be answered, that will be answered, but not heard by most of the dummies in the United States of America. They are easily manipulated, as they have always been easily manipulated. They have already forgotten the VA scandal. It's been swept off the headlines. In that regard, Obama's brain, Axelrod, has received another gold star in crisis control and in wagging the dog. There's no question that we're living in the most perturbing time of our lives. Anyone with a conscience and a brain and an education knows this. And I can only speak to that audience. I can't speak to the general audience. You know, Rush Limbaugh, for all of his deficits, has some great sayings. And one of his great sayings is the low-information voter. It's beyond the low-information voter. And I made a decision over the weekend as well, not only to produce a film of my book, Abuse of Power, by myself, because Hollywood won't touch it because it's too telling and too revealing, but I'm going to produce it myself, as I mentioned to you. I made another decision. I can't sit on the microphone every day and worry about the masses of people who are not educated to what's going on and try to entertain them so that they will accept what's going on. I don't really care about them. I'm not running for office. I really don't care what they think. So I'm going to only address my shows from here on in to those who know what's going on and let the others, you know, come into the classroom as late as they want and leave as early as they want. I really don't care about them. I don't care how wide the audience is. I don't care how big the audience is. All I care about now is saying it like it is. I've always tried to do it, but there's something has changed in me over the last few days. Something really changed. I feel something has gone on inside me. I think things have gotten so bad that I can no longer think about the entertainment factor on this show in order to bring in more people to understand what's actually going on. I'll have to let them just do what they want. They can scan around and listen to whoever they want. If they want to listen to me, they can. Otherwise, I can't help them. It's up to them. So the show is addressed only to the American voters who know what's going on and want to keep informed as to what's going on for the sake of perhaps saving the nation this coming November, because it's the last chance I think we're going to have, to be honest with you. Because if we do not throw Harry Reid out in November, I don't even know if he's running, but let's say the Harry Reid gang, the gang that is run by Dianne Feinstein, the gang that is run by Nancy Pelosi, if they are not dismissed from the Senate, it's over. Because since Obama got away with this, trading a traitor for five dangerous terrorists, what's going to happen when he grants amnesty to 30 million illegal aliens or more? What are we going to hear? He has the right to do it. He went to Eric Holder and got permission. He ran it through the Justice Department and no one could stop him. Tell me what's going to happen then. How much can the people take? When will there be a reaction? Will there be a reaction? Will something set off the prairie fire into a conflagration? We all pray not. We all pray not. but there's only so much the people can take. I told you that last week there was a revolution in Europe. Even in Europe, they said no to illegal immigrants. Even in Europe, they said no to the New World Order. And look how we're stuck with this guy. We're stuck with this guy no matter what we do. We don't have democracy in this country. We have a monopoly, a two-party shuck and jive of a monopoly. There's no freedom in America. There's only the appearances of freedom. Now, I also said to you in the last hour that the last few opposition points to this despotic regime is occurring on the internet and in talk radio, nowhere else. So I ask you, how much longer will it be until this gang closes down these outlets of freedom? What would stop this gang from stopping talk radio? What would stop this gang from doing something to subvert the freedoms of the internet? Tell me. If they can get away with this, they can get away with that. If they can get away with that, they can get away with the next thing. So there's nothing to stop them. There's no FBI. There's no opposition party. There's no press. All of the checks and balances that we had in place in this country seem to have been checked by the imbalance of fear of being called a racist. 855-407-282. Many of you have a lot to say about this. Many of you have a lot to say about this. I'd like to hear your pieces on this. Let's go to WMAL in Washington. Jonathan, welcome to the Savage Nation. Thank you very much. What's on your mind?
Yes, thanks for taking my call. Well, I'm thinking that we should not rush to judge this guy because we don't know what psychologically was going on in his mind, whether he was suffering from post-traumatic stress disorder or anything.
Wait a minute, hold it. How could he suffer post-traumatic stress disorder while serving in the military?
Well, he may have underwent some traumatic event while serving.
So let's say he went under that event, but he still deserted his post. You're not arguing as to that, are you?
I'm arguing maybe his psychological state.
No, wait a minute. Let's not argue why he did it. You do know he deserted his post, yes or no?
I wouldn't call it that if he did it because of...
What do you mean you wouldn't call it that? He left his weapons, he left everything and walked away. What would you call it?
Well, he was mentally unstable.
Well, I don't care whether he was mentally unstable or stable. He walked away from his post. That's called desertion.
Okay, so if we call that diversion, now the question is, do we attribute to him the fault, or do we say it's because he was psychologically unstable?
So if a man comes to rape your daughter, do you say that, let's think about the man who raped this man's daughter. Maybe he was under stress and he raped the daughter because he couldn't have sex. Is that what you do? Is you justify criminal acts by the man's mental state?
You can't compare the two. This is a totally different...
What do you mean I can't compare the two? Your mind is not functioning. You do know that you can be shot for walking away from your post in the military. Are you aware of that?
Okay, yeah, so...
Well, I mean, I understand you're a foreigner who's new to America and doesn't even understand what you're talking about, and you're trying to argue with one of the smartest men in the world, but you're not getting too far. The fact of the matter is he's a traitor. He walked away from his post. He is a traitor by any definition. It doesn't matter why he was a traitor.
You don't come across as smart.
All right, take a walk. Go back where you came from. See if I care. Send a letter to the FCC. Go back and send your hatred to the Taliban that you came from. Bob on WDRC in Hartford, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hey, Mike, thanks for taking my call. Look, I'm not going to defend this guy for walking away. I agree with you 100%. He is a deserter. He has a weapon. We all had weapons. We did not leave our weapons ever. Point one. Point two, I am in absolute agreement that we ought to trade all the scumbags, terrorists, for any American soldier. And so I'm in
the word. I don't like the word. I don't want to use. Thanks for the call. I don't use those words on my show. It makes me uncomfortable. 855-407-282 WABC Lou, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Yes, Dr. Savage, thanks for taking my call. I think you got it wrong. The smokescreen for this particular story is that it's not hiding or changing the VA story. It's actually changing the fact or not letting us know that right now the United States is recognizing the new Palestinian government and is putting...
What does Palestinian government have to do with this case? I don't understand. I know you're trying to lobby for something to do with Israel, but it has nothing to do with this.
You're saying it's a smokescreen for the VA story, but this other story never came out because of this. That's what I'm...
All right, I understand. A lot of stories didn't come out because of this, but he was facing the VA scandal, and as a result of it, he wagged the dog and released a man who abandoned his post, who was by any definition a deserter, and he traded him for five evil terrorists. It has nothing to do with Israel. I know that some want to inject their agenda into every story, but you can't do that. He left willingly. He walked away from his post. Men died trying to find him. Many men died trying to find the deserter. They have names. I read them in the last segment, in the last hour. Many soldiers were lost in the hunt for the deserter Bergdahl. He walked off in the dead of the night. He disappeared. He wasn't just captured. He walked away. Five-year-old story. 1st Battalion, 501st Parachute Infantry Regiment, all brave men, and a man who served in the same battalion in Afghanistan and had participated in the attempts to retrieve him throughout the summer of 2009 has a story to tell. They have a lot of stories to tell. And here's what he says. He said, Bergdahl was a deserter, and soldiers from his own unit died trying to track him down. On the night of his desertion, he left his post. He put all of his men at risk of getting overrun and killed. The next morning, Bergdahl failed to show up for the morning roll call. The soldiers discovered his rifle, helmet, body armor, and web gear in a neat stack. But he had taken his compass. He walked off his post. Did you hear this? He walked away from the base. He was not lagging behind on patrol. He walked away. Everybody knows he was a deserter. And yet you've got people calling the show saying he had post-traumatic stress disorder. It doesn't matter what he had. Maybe he had pre-terrorist stress disorder. We don't know what he had. But in normal military jargon, in normal times of warfare, he would be shot upon capture, being shot upon being reunited with his fellow troops. He would be tried and probably executed. Instead, he's been brought back probably to a ticker tape parade by the commander-in-chief. I'll be right back. This is the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I, Michael Savage, trust to buy my gold and silver from, SwissAmerica.com. Hey. Here's some breaking news. A former federal prosecutor who helped bring the 1993 World Trade Center bombers to justice has just been interviewed by Mail Online in London, and he says the return of senior terrorists to the Taliban is a high crime and misdemeanor, and he can be impeached for it. Now, President Barack Obama made Janie and Bob Bergdahl happy by rescuing their son, but may have put his presidency in jeopardy by ignoring Congress when he released five high-value Taliban terrorists in exchange. That's what the world of intelligence is saying. Moreover, the liar, Chuck Hagel, the most despicable defense secretary in the history of this country, who has done everything he can as fast as he can to destroy the U.S. military, made press statements aboard a military aircraft, but failed to notify Congress that five Gitmo detainees would be walking free. He is also impeachable. Should also be arrested. He's saying that Obama clearly violated laws which require him to notify Congress 30 days before any transfer of terrorists from Gitmo, and to explain how the threat posed by such terrorists has been substantially mitigated. So you can have all the joy you want at Sergeant Bergdahl's release, but you're not hearing the whole story if you're only reading your local newspaper. Your local newspaper exists for one reason only, which is to support this corrupt regime. There is no other excuse for the newspaper you are reading. It exists only to support your corrupt regime and the one-party gang that is running and ruining America. The article says that the administration may have believed it would win a PR victory that would eclipse any legalistic hand-wringing on Capitol Hill. But, listen to this. A White House official told Mail Online today that Obama's deputies were caught flat-footed by the intensity of public outrage in some quarters after Bergdahl's rescue by special forces. Are you listening to this? The out-of-touch gang that is running the United States of America is shocked that you are shocked by him breaking the law. Obama broke the National Defense Authorization Act of 2013, which requires Defense Secretary Chuck Hagel the Bagel to, quote, notify the appropriate committees of Congress not later than 30 days before the transfer or release of detainees from Guantanamo. Hagel did not do that. So you have to make the decision. Do you want to continue to be outraged? I suggest you should be outraged, then you should spread the word. You should continue to talk about it. You should say that it's an impeachable offense. You should say the president did it as a wag-the-dog scenario to drive the VA scandal off the headlines. You should say that all decent Americans should be outraged by releasing war criminals involved in mass killings, back onto the streets. A high crime is one that only a person in a position of power or authority can commit. Many are saying he has committed this high crime. Article 2 of the United States Constitution provides Congress with a way to remove officials, including the president, from the executive branch. And here's what it says. The president, vice president, and all civil officers of the U.S. shall be removed from office on impeachment for and conviction of treason, bribery, or other high crimes or misdemeanors. Do you think this was a high crime? Well, the prosecutor who prosecuted the 9/11 terrorists, former assistant U.S. attorney who led the 95 terrorism prosecution against Sheikh Abdul Rahman, says that yes, there is a case for impeaching Obama. What do you have to say? This is a bizarre case. He deserted his post. Men died looking for him for months afterwards. Men died looking for him. And you think he's a hero? How did he become a sergeant when he deserted as a private? Was he made a sergeant by the Taliban? Is he a sergeant in the Taliban army? Are there others in the Taliban army in the U.S. government? I'll let you decide.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
I'm also grateful for the tireless work of our diplomats and for the cooperation of the government of Qatar in helping to secure Bo's release. We've worked for several years to achieve this goal, and earlier this week I was able to personally thank the Emir of Qatar for his leadership in helping us get it done. As part of this effort, the United States is transferring five detainees.
Or, as we well know, this is the most narcissistic, dangerous presidency in our history, and I don't know if we can survive it at this point. You know, I started the show by quoting Oliver Wendell Holmes, and I think it was he who said, we will soon have to decide if the people will run this government or if the government will run the people. I don't know whether it was Jefferson or Holmes. We know that the government is running the people. And this is all about selfishness, narcissism, greed, and power. See, all of us have a selfishness in us, but if we're only for ourselves, we become very dangerous individuals to everyone around us. That's common in the human condition, and normally civilized society controls such urges through laws, through checks and balances. But when you have a dictator arise who thinks he's above the law, these checks and balances no longer apply. And then the narcissist gets out of control, and he starts feeding upon himself, feeding only for himself, more and more of the madness that led him to the origination of his narcissism, and he feeds it without any thought whatsoever for the benefit of the nation. He does not think about the nation. He does not think about his party. He does not think about anything but his own ego gratification. And so we're now in that situation where we're in a very dangerous place because of the president, the commander-in-chief. So what do you think about this? Do you think that he's a hero or do you think he's a traitor? Do you think he's a, what is he? He's a guy who ran off his post? The soldiers say that. He abandoned his post after growing disillusioned with the war. He put America down. And strangely enough, he had bought an AK-47 for his weapon of choice in the field. I didn't know you could do that. I guess he was getting ready to work with his friends. One, Obama broke the law. Two, the five Taliban commanders released were among the most dangerous from Guantanamo. Soldiers who served with Bergdahl are saying he was a deserter. Soldiers who served with Bergdahl signed NDAs not to reveal what happened. Bergdahl reportedly split camp with just a few survival items. Bergdahl reportedly made anti-American statements. Father Praised Allah has pro-Islamic tweets on timeline. Now, here's the strangest one of them all. Remember 2 weeks ago when Obama made the strange trip to Afghanistan to be commander-in-chief in the middle of the VA scandal? And then we learned on the same weekend the CIA station chief in Kabul was, quote, mistakenly outed by Obama's minions. Why do you think that happened? You know why this happened? I'll tell you why. Because if soldiers on the battlefield know exactly who Bergdahl was and that he abandoned his post, and they're not allowed to say it, what do you think the station chief in Kabul might know? And why do you think that the spies, the double agents inside our military, outed his name? I'm just an American looking in from the outside. And as according to what I've seen go on under this administration, there are many dangerous double agents working directly for Obama. Now, perhaps it's a result of my watching the series 24 years ago, or of having watched the HBO series Homeland a little too often. But something is so wrong with this administration that there's almost no way to begin it. This is like Humpty Dumpty. He has broken America like an egg. Can anyone fix this? Is there enough glue in the world to re-glue this nation? And remember, this man has years to go. Years to go. So who is he? Well, he was raised in a rugged and rural area of the U.S. by his father, Bob, a staunch woodsman who homeschooled his kids and taught them to shoot and live off the land. That's admirable. That's good. A street in his hometown of Haley, Idaho, is lined with signs and yellow ribbons welcoming home America's only prisoner of war in Afghanistan, released after 5 years in captivity. Now, what you have to understand is that they don't keep American prisoners of war playing badminton and feeding them. They usually torture them and cut their heads off. So who actually is this kid? Well, in a deal done by your commander-in-chief to trade the sergeant for five high-ranking murderous Taliban leaders at Guantanamo Bay, Cuba, there's no question they're going to be back on the battlefield sooner rather than later. Now, don't tell me that Qatar is going to control them. Q-A-T-A-R, Qatar, will be able to control them. They won't. They're probably back on the battlefield as I speak. Now, on the face of it, we should all be thrilled for the release of any American held in captivity. Yellow ribbons, parades, marching down Main Street, ticker tape parades. But if you study this story, the release is clouded in controversy and great danger. Let's start with the conflicting stories from the night Bergdahl was captured. Sergeant Bo Bergdahl says he fell behind in a patrol. The Taliban says he was found drunk wandering the desert. I don't believe either of those stories. According to CNN and Fox News, the belief of the soldiers most close to Sergeant Bergdahl on the night he disappeared, they broke their NDAs in order to tell what they know. They say that while in the battle on the battlefield, Sergeant Bergdahl lost his faith in the mission and turned his back on America and the military. He reportedly mailed his personal effects back home mid-tour, all of his valuables. They also noticed a lot of anti-American rhetoric flowing through his emails, and they say he simply deserted his post one night, taking with him a compass, a bottle of water, a knife, and a small camera. Bergdahl walked off his post and was captured by the enemy. His path into the U.S. Army itself is a strange one. First, ballet. Then he went on a sailing expedition from the Atlantic to the Pacific, and then attempted to enlist in the French Foreign Legion. Now, thus far, those are symptoms more of an adventurer than anything else, a brave young man. Only after having been rejected by the French Foreign Legion did Bergdahl join the U.S. Army. He deployed in 09, went missing on June 30th that very year. Reports after his capture began to surface of games with badminton, of badminton that he was playing with his captors, inviting them to celebrate Easter and Christmas and growing fondness for akawa and Afghan green tea. Nothing wrong with that either, but I don't believe that these people play badminton with American prisoners of war by habit. He also became fluent in the predominant Afghan languages of Pashto and Dari. Again, nothing wrong with that. He's a smart kid. It's also being reported by various outlets that the sergeant is now struggling to learn to re-speak English. That's unusual. Very unusual. In August 2010, it was reported that a Taliban commander named Haji Nadim said the sergeant was helping to train the Taliban in bomb-making and infantry tactics. The Pentagon dismissed the reports as Taliban propaganda, but then you know who was running the Pentagon then. It was Leon Panetta, who was conveniently sent back to his ranch in Monterey. And according to an article published in Rolling Stone, which is a left-wing magazine, as you well know, an American-hating magazine, a military-hating magazine, a magazine that hates for a living, even Rolling Stone said that they were concerning emails. And he said that he's ashamed to be an American. He said the horror of the self-righteous arrogance that they thrive in is revolting. He said in the U.S. Army, you are cut down for being honest. But if you are a conceited, brown-nosing SB, you'll be allowed to do whatever you want and you'll be handed your higher rank. He said the title of U.S. soldier is just a lie of fools. This is the hero that Obama is parading around. There's more of it. He said, we don't even care when we hear each other talk about running their children down in the dirt streets with our armored trucks. We make fun of them in front of their faces and laugh at them for not understanding we are insulting them. But wait, there's more to it. Let's move on to some of the strange behavior of Sergeant Bergdahl's family, specifically the backwoods father. Upon news of his son's release, the father was this weekend ready for the announcement, and he spoke to the press, and he started his press conference, as I say, in Arabic. What is that about? Sergeant Bergdahl's father, as I mentioned at the beginning of this show with breaking news, just released more tweets to release more Guantanamo prisoners. He just returned to Twitter to promote a Guardian video which family members lobbied for the release of five Tunisians held at Guantanamo Bay. There's a lot going on here. I would say most Americans are completely tuned out of this story. They're the useful idiots that Lenin wrote about, interested in the things that most average people are interested in. They're the useful idiots that dictators have used from the beginning of recorded history to continue their power grabs. And I don't think it's any different in our nation, perhaps even worse, given the level of intelligence in the country and the low level of education. The Twitter universe has reduced literacy to a lowest possible level. And I don't think Americans know what's going on. That doesn't mean I have to now start appealing to the base elements, to the lowest common denominator. I mean, if I was teaching in a classroom and there were like three bright kids and then there was a slew of idiots that were brought into the classroom, if you start appeasing the idiots, which is the average American voter out there who puts politicians in power and keeps them there, then the intelligent people wind up tuning out. They can't learn anything anymore, and they won't listen to you. What you have to do, it's a real struggle, which is try to bring the dummies up to the level of the intelligent ones. Very hard to bring the dummies up to any level when a nation is now so given to appeasing the dummies. The nation glorifies the dummies. The nation puts dummies on the fronts of newspapers. The nation puts left-wing dummies up as role models. The nation only hires left-wing dummies to speak at graduation ceremonies. The nation only makes movies about left-wing dummies and so-called anti-heroes. Be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Well, there's only one news story today, which is how the most cynical, deceitful, undermining, traitorous administration in American history, need I say, narcissistic and fascistic, has used a deserter to cover up the Veterans Administration scandal, the deaths of hundreds of American hospital patients. He's willing to release a deserter and trade him, by the way, for five or six of the most dangerous terrorists on planet Earth. Five of the most dangerous Taliban commanders in U.S. custody exchange for American captive. Did he break the law? Well, you know how they play the game. You'll never prove it. The liar, Susan Rice, says that the POW served with honor and distinction. Nothing could be farther from the truth. He deserted his post on a battlefield, and men died trying to find them over the next months and years. Parents of those killed trying to search for this POS, not POW, are freaking out and screaming out at the cover-up over this horrendous cynicism of this wonderful president of yours. Taliban is hailing it a great victory. The man abandoned his post after growing disillusioned with the war. He had many evil things to say about America. He said the title of U.S. soldier is just a lie of fools. The POS said the horror that is America is disgusting. This is just the beginning. The POS's father started his press conference at the White House in the Rose Garden speaking in Arabic.
I'd like to say to Bo right now, who's having trouble speaking English, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Zayabayim. I'm your father, Bo. The people of Afghanistan, the same. The complicated nature of this recovery will never really be comprehended. To each and every single one who affected this, in this country, in the service branches, at the State Department, throughout the whole of American government, and around the world, at international governments around the world, thank you so much. We just can't communicate the words this morning when we heard from the president.
According to experts in the field, including a former CIA station chief, these Arabic words serve to sanctify the grounds of the White House for Islam, essentially claiming it for Islam based on dogmatic and religious traditions. Whose side is Obama on? Has anyone seen the show Homeland? Is this a little too close to truth? What is going on here? Is this art imitating life or life imitating art? You know, Oliver Wendell Holmes, a great jurist, and said, we will soon have to decide if the people will run this government or if the government will run the people. It's clear to me that this government is not only running the people, it's ruining the people. There are 11 things you need to know about Obama's exchange for the last American POW for five Gitmo terrorists that was done by the IJ Review. 1. President Obama almost certainly broke the law. 2. The five Taliban commanders released were among the most dangerous at Gitmo. 3. Soldiers who served with Bergdahl are making claims he was a deserter. 4. And I never heard of anything like this in my life. Soldiers who served with the POS signed non-disclosure agreements not to reveal what happened. I never heard of anything like this. It came from CNN. 5. The POS reportedly split camp with just a few survival items. 6. A soldier who claims to have served with the POS says he mailed his valuables back mid-tour before he was going to split. In addition, the soldier claims that the POS Bergdahl bought an AK-47. A very unusual choice. 7. Bergdahl, the POS, reportedly made anti-American statements. 8. Well, there are so many other factors here. Here's the last one for those of you on the left who are laughing as you celebrate with your Chai tea. The CIA station chief in Kabul, who was outed by the White House 1 week before the transfer, which they said was a mistake, it was done on purpose. They did this on purpose. They did it on purpose. If numerous military members knew something was awry with the story about Bergdahl's apparent capture by the Taliban, what would the CIA station chief, who was outed by Obama's minions, know about him? Probably everything. It's lucky he's not going to take a jog in Marcy Park. This is the main story today. There are so many other things I have to talk about, that I have talked about, that we will be talking about. Would you please go to michaelsavage.com? Once again, I ask you. There are so many things you have to look at that are coming out of the real news that I try to post on michaelsavage.com. And strangely enough, I took my picture down of me inside the Jaguar with Teddy. I know you're sad about that. And I reposted my novel, Abuse of Power. Why? The reason I reposted the novel Abuse of Power, the bestseller, the thriller, is because it's eerily reminiscent of the news that is going on today in so many ways. Moreover, I announced today on the radio show that I've initiated the process of producing the film Abuse of Power. I'm going to produce it myself and do an indie production. That's it for the Savage Nation for the Monday edition. Thanks for listening. God bless America.
Savage.